Brandon.
And I'm Justine.
And this is the Cozy Co-op, a podcast where a games journalist and a creative writer talk about video games. Hi, Justine.
Hi, Brandon.
How are you?
I'm a little bit sleepy.
You were up a bit early today.
It's almost nap time. I wasn't up early. I woke up with my alarm.
I mean, early compared to me.
True.
So, today we're talking about Marble It Up, and I'm very excited.
Yes, it's a marble racing
game. It's a marble game. I love me some good marble games, but we'll get into that later. First, we have some news. First bit of news, Fallout 76, they announced the details regarding the beta. So, the multiplayer Fallout game that I've been very anxiously waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
The beta, which we knew before was taking place in October. Well, surprise, it's October now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's October. It's time to get spooky. We're going to have to talk about some scary games or something.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe Outlast. But they've announced when the beta is taking place. For Xbox One, it's happening on October 23rd. For PC and PlayStation, it's happening on October 30th. They could not make it later and still call it October.
Yeah.
You know? Like, they didn't lie, I guess. Well, you will only be able to play during designated times because they want to stress test it. So it's like a stress test. It's not like you get to play 24/7 for the week straight. There's going to be a 4 to 8 hour time period on certain days where you can log in and play.
So everyone's going to be on at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Your progress will be saved, though, into the main game.
Cool.
And it has revealed Atoms, A-T-O-M. And this is their premium currency. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Fallout 76 has a premium currency called Atoms. You can earn them by accomplishing challenges and missions in-game. And you can also purchase them for real-world money in the game's formal launch. These Atoms can be used to purchase cosmetics, and cosmetics only.
Like makeup and lipstick.
I assume outfits.
Yeah.
I don't know. You can literally wear, like, a fake ghoul mask in some games. I have no idea. If they were to bring out a good smoky eyeliner, like, I'd believe them.
Give me a good smoky eye for my character.
And I'd like to think because of the social nature of this game, they're putting more effort into, like, character look. Like, there's going to be more outfits than ever before. And they're all going to have viable stats, something like that.
So that not everybody looks the same.
Yeah, that way not everyone's just wearing power armor to min-max their look. Someone might actually be walking with a dirty suit. Kind of like the ballistic weave in Fallout 4.
Right. I like that.
I did too. Well, next bit of news. Minecraft Dungeons. Microsoft recently announced what they called Minecraft Dungeons, and they did it with a cinematic trailer, and it appears to be a standard dungeon crawler type scenario. You have a rogue, you have a knight, you have like a mage, and they attack what looked like a dragon.
But it's all Minecraft?
But it's Minecraft.
That's interesting.
And we don't know a lot about what it is, because all we saw was cinematic footage, but my understanding from the statements made is it's a dungeon crawler.
Okay.
Based in Minecraft. So, that's interesting. More info on that as it arrives. I might play it. Final bit of news. I think my favorite bit. The guy. Okay, so do you know the Witcher games?
Absolutely.
Well, do you know they're based on a book or books?
Did not know that.
Yes, they're based on a book series.
I'll have to read those.
Well, here's the thing. Back when the developers of the games, CD Projekt Red, got the licensing for it, they tried to offer the author. Ooh. A percentage of royalties.
Okay.
He, believing video games are stupid and not a way to make money, he said, no, give me this solid dollar amount, which was somewhere in the low thousands.
Oh, my.
Now he's back suing the developers for $16.1 million.
Oh, my gosh.
This is why you should always get percentages, even if you think it's going to go badly.
Yeah.
That happened with Star Wars. That happened. So, yeah, he's mad that they basically made mad cash off of his stories. And the problem is they offered him royalties, but he said, no, give me the solid amount. And he accepted that amount. The fact that he tried to
sue them as if they did something wrong.
He could have just made $16 million had he taken the percentage cut.
He could have And that's honestly, The Witcher is not like, that's not an old game series.
It's
like video games have been popping off for a couple decades now.
Yeah, you could have looked at the 90s and go, oh, maybe video games are popular.
Yeah.
So this was just, he was stubborn and
well, I'm not going to buy the books, but I would like to read whatever it's based off of. So I'll just get them from the library or something. I don't want to be contributing to this.
Yeah, and he's actually made more money just from the exposure. Like, the games came out, people found out they were based on books, and people bought
them, right.
So they've still helped him in sales.
Whatever.
I think, yeah, he's just
don't
mad.
Don't be a jerk, you guys.
And always take percentage cuts.
I wonder if there's more to it.
There might be, but it's still in the process right now. I'll keep things up to date as they progress. But that's it on news. So, marble it up.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I love this game. It's so much fun.
It's going to be probably a short episode, though.
Yeah, because it's
very simple.
It is a marble platforming game. So you are a marble. Your goal is to get to the end of the track. You are able to jump, and sometimes you have power-ups. But the general goal is just roll to the end.
Mm-hmm. As fast as you can.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, there's like, I'm still working on those diamond scores, but
yeah,
you scored based on your time, and like there's global leaderboards, and there's people that like, this level takes 2 minutes to beat, but if you can beat it in under 1 minute, you'll get like the diamond star rank, and you can unlock different marble designs based on your scores and whatnot. That's basically what it is. It's a platform puzzle game, I think is a proper definition. And it came out, this is called Marble It Up, it came out on the Nintendo Switch Saturday. Came out Saturday.
Okay.
I got it Friday. Which, full disclosure, all right, yeah, this is the first game, by the way, that we're talking about that I've been given a copy of.
Oh, okay,
so,
yeah.
For integrity's sake, full disclosure, I have been given a free copy of this game.
Right. And for your job.
For my job. And I'm going to talk about that later, because I have words to that, too.
Okay.
Good words, don't worry. But you have not really played a marble game before.
No. Right? So, I didn't know it was, like, a genre.
Well, I say genre, or I say marble game, but there's basically two game series.
Oh, okay.
There's Marble Madness, the arcade cabinet game, where you'd roll a marble around, and then there's basically these games. Because before Marble It Up, there was Marble Blast.
Okay.
And Marble Blast, I had Marble Blast Ultra on the Xbox 360 way back. Well, these games disappeared for years and years, and then they got back, and this is kind of the spiritual successor to those.
I see.
So when I say marble game, I more or less mean the games that these people made.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they've been around for a while, the concept at least.
Yeah.
But you've not played them. Tell me how was your first experience?
It's very smooth.
Oh, it's so smooth.
So I compared it a lot to certain mini games in Mario Odyssey because there are a couple of like racing sort of things in that game. And it's also on the Switch. But when you play Mario Odyssey, there's this like snowball race thing that you do in the Snow Kingdom.
Oh yeah, the fat thing.
Yeah, that one is very, very hard because if you mess, it's hard to do it correctly in the first place, and if you mess up, you're just dead.
You're doomed.
You're done.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard to change your direction once you're going in a certain way, and then the other thing is the motorbike is also very difficult to change direction. That thing turns like a pig, despite it being small and compact, which is why I found it very refreshing when I was playing the marble game. And like, if I wanted to change direction, I just did, unless I was on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very easy to slow down if you need to and turn and do certain things. So in some cases, it's better to slow down to get to the end of the track because then you're not flying off the edge of it.
Oh, yeah.
And you can do that quickly and just very easily, and changing course will not slow you down drastically. Like, it's very easy to navigate yourself on this track.
And you'd think because it's marble, because it's marble, it would be weird to control. It'd be awkward or like wobbly, but no, it's so comfortable. It feels really nice.
It responds to your commands fairly quickly. Like I was expecting it to be a little more sliding around,
More chaotic.
Yeah,
but it's not.
You are the marble instead of your like pushing the marble kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Marble Madness had that issue of it felt very weird to control. Mm-hmm. This does not. It feels great. It runs at a solid 60 frames per second, something they cared deeply about.
It's very smooth, yes.
So, yeah, all of it feels very smooth. And despite the chaotic nature, you'd think of a marble, it's surprisingly easy to do what you want.
Right.
And an example of that is the diamond time rankings. So throughout each level, if you do well, you get gold. However, if you do game-breakingly well, you get diamond. And the only way to get diamond on these tracks is basically to, not do what the level wants you.
Right, don't go on the entire track.
An example is there's gravity floor things. If you roll along them, your gravity shifts. And one of the levels you do, you basically kind of go the outer perimeter of a cube using these gravity floors to get to the end. Hmm. And it takes 30 seconds or so. I mean, I saw you do it, I believe. Because the end is right next to you, but it's too high up. So you have to go all the way around. Or you can run backwards, bounce off of the corner, and just flunk yourself into the air up top. Basically taking the 30-second level and then beating it in 6 seconds.
Jeez.
Remember that gliding level?
No.
Where you introduce the glide ability?
Oh, like the
low gravity thing? Somebody, instead of going all the way around, they took the first one, just kind of rocket launched themselves forward and rode that to the very end.
Jeez.
I've done it myself. I have the time. I have the replay. And the replay is another thing. But yeah, the game feels fantastic and it's very aware of what it wants, of what the player wants to do. And it's very receptive to that, despite being what you'd think is a very uncontrollable object, a marble.
Right. The only bit of it I don't like is the one power-up you just talked about, the gliding, flying thing.
I'm not fond of the low-gravity one myself.
Because what I was finding was, like, you can't turn that one off, and you can't really change direction very well when that one's active.
Mm-hmm.
And then the issue ends up being, like, as soon as you get the power-up, you go and fly, like, across a very long jump or whatever. But then you don't come back down in time to actually land on the next platform and you end up just flying off into the abyss.
Because in this game, I've noticed this, you move fastest in the air.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to reach maximum speed, the best way to do it is actually just hop and hop and hop. Well, when you're gliding, you've got nothing but air time. So it's very easy to accidentally build too much momentum.
Completely overshoot.
Multiple times I did that. I either whooped off of the edge or I slammed into a wall, which bounced me over.
Right.
So I'm not the most fine. If you could like press the power up button again to turn it off, I would love that. Because then I can time when I do the hard drop.
That's what I was thinking. I would love to be able to turn it off early.
But you're right. The other power ups they had are, it's like a time pause where the timer slows down, but you don't, which is cool. Good for when you're trying to get those high scores.
Yeah.
There's a super jump, which just launches you in the air.
That one's a pretty good one. That one's easy to use.
It's simple. It's easy. And the last one is super speed.
Uh-huh.
Which is fun.
Can
be dangerous. This game feels so good to play.
Mm-hmm.
It's so satisfying. Like, it's been not even been a week, but I've already gone back and played some of the earlier levels normal, not trying to get a high score or anything.
Yeah.
Just because it's satisfying to feel.
I do like how in several levels, once you get through a lot of the tutorial sort, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but even the tutorial levels are not very tutorial-esque.
Yeah, they tell you exactly what you need. They offer up the challenge needed, and that's it.
Right.
You're not handheld. You're just given a sign that says, here's how to do that.
And, you know, when they're going through the different power-ups, you know, you have one track where you just use the speed boost. You have one track where you just use the time thing. But in later tracks, it's got a variety of power-ups around, so you can customize how you get to the end as fast as you do.
Oh, yeah. And
like, you can use different methods of cutting that time down.
There's some levels that are specifically designed that way. There's three different directions you could go, which path do you want to take?
Right.
Which one's going to get you there the fastest? And I love the game does a fantastic. Okay. One of the things I respect the absolute most in game design is how fluidly you can introduce game concepts.
This one, very quickly.
Like, I always would praise Mario for the way that it would introduce a concept and blend it in really well to where you're learning, but you don't feel like you're being, you know, brought to school.
Mm-hmm.
This game does that amazingly.
Yes.
The way the pacing that it introduces new ideas, the way that it can, it also vaguely introduces existing ideas into it, and like the rate in which it does. There's no learning curve, except maybe in like the later levels. Like, it feels really nice the way it progresses, and I respect the heck out of it.
It's because when it teaches you something, it does not slow you down, which is really good because the game is a fast-paced game. I mean, I was ripping through levels last night.
It's so good.
And because, you just go down the track and get to the end, then you go to the next level. So it doesn't stop you to go, okay, read this splash text real quick. No, it's when you start the level, there is a message that says, okay, use this to get to the end. And it doesn't pause you to do that. There's just some text on the screen and then it goes away after a minute. But it doesn't slow you down at all. You just keep going and going and going and going and going. And it will teach you things, but you don't have to stop to learn it. You mm-hmm. can just go as you're going.
Yeah, the game very much maintains momentum, both literally and figuratively.
Yes. And it's, in fact, because of that momentum, it is a little hard to stop. Because I mm-hmm. go, okay, I'm kind of done playing now. Except I would, like, keep, because I just kept pressing A, like to keep going. Yeah.
I'm not a completionist by any means. Mm-hmm. I'm totally fine with playing it normal. Who cares how good I do? I'm here for the experience. I couldn't stop going for the goal.
Trying to get the top score.
Like, I couldn't stop playing this game. I bragged earlier in the week about technically I was the first media person to beat the game
mm-hmm.
because I had gotten it before it released. And the leaderboards were up there, and there's global leaderboards. But because it hadn't come out yet, the only people on the boards were either presumably devs or other media personnel.
Mm-hmm.
And I had noticed I was the first person to have a global score set on every single track.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm the first media person to beat it. And that's because I sit there and I just didn't stop playing it for hours.
Yeah.
It was so good. I didn't want to stop, but it was like 1 a.m. and I had to.
Right, yeah.
The addition of times really just cranked that desire to keep playing for me.
Yeah.
I'd go and I'd get silver and I'm like, oh, if I was just like 5 seconds faster, I could have gotten gold, and I'll press the button to redo.
Yeah.
And I love how they do this. This is something I've said before, and I've said with other games. If you have a game where you're going to try to repeatedly do a level for the high score, you have to add a way to immediately and quickly reset.
And you can, because I accidentally did it.
Yes, the minus button on the Switch controller immediately will bring you back to the beginning. Full reset. Just snap, that's it. There's other games, I can't remember what it was, but I remember being annoyed. Okay, yeah, no, I remember. It was this mobile game called Squat something. And it was the same concept of, like, hard levels you gotta repeat a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it had a kind of slow reset process, and I grew annoyed with that. That wasn't here. This was immediately. I remember resetting. I've had to have reset it already hundreds of times at this point. Just because I'd go, I'd mess up, I'd reset, go mess up. And, like, yeah, you're saying about it's hard to stop is, like, I'd think, okay, if I don't get it this time, I'll just stop, and then I'll finish it, and I'll be like, I could, one more time.
And that's another thing, this is a fast-paced game that allows you to get through things quickly, so if you need to restart, you can do that quickly, but also if you, like, go flying off the edge, they have checkpoints.
Yeah.
And you will instantly come back to the last checkpoint, and it's not like it doesn't feel like it does in every other game where you die and it resets you somewhere and then you like get back up and it takes you a second to reorient. No, you just like you just go.
Bam, you're back.
It you don't need a second to reorient. It somehow very fluidly puts you back where you need to be, and the timer doesn't do anything weird. Like, you just keep going.
And I love that they do that, because me aiming for that completionist numbers, I would, if I messed up, I would reset entirely. But I like that if I really wanted to just have a chill experience, chill attempt, I had those checkpoints. Mm-hmm. That's very, very satisfying to me. The game has more polish than just its gameplay, though. A thing I had mentioned earlier is visually, media, like the artistic side of things is also very well polished.
It looks like very 90s. Like, it's got that...
Would you perhaps compare it to early 2000s Bejeweled? Because I would.
I never played Bejeweled.
Ah, it kind of has that weird style. It's like this... It's not EDM exactly, but, like, it's got that electronica music. It's got that... Uh-huh. That vaguely sci-fi vibe while still being kind of retro.
Yeah, so you know how, like, the 50s has their very established space aesthetic?
Yeah.
Well, the 90s and early 2000s also had a space aesthetic that was completely different from the 50s one, but it's still distinctive.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, it's got the neon colors and the, you know, techno vibes mm-hmm. kind of thing.
But... Yeah, it has that style. And that was a style that the old games had, too. So, of course, my nostalgia was just kind of mm-hmm. cranked up a bit. Another example is a polish, though. If you pause the game, the music keeps playing, but it goes, like, in a low rumble tone.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So, like, it does this fluid audio transition. The music, the songs don't change when you go to the next level.
Oh, the so soundtrack just keeps playing. That's kind of
cool. It's got a sound, and you can skip songs through the pause menu. So, like, the soundtrack's fluid.
That's awesome. I didn't even pay attention to the music. I was so focused on the track.
Oh, I love the music. I think it sounds best on the Switch itself. I tried with headphones, and something about the sharpness, it lacks a certain sharpness.
Okay.
And I think that may have been because... It was being built for the Switch first.
Yeah.
Which it's coming to other consoles, by the way. They have a roadmap set up. I'll talk about that later. But other examples of this polish, like the world dynamic, it has a dynamic color scheme.
Yes.
Let's say there's a big hill and the ground is purple. Well, if you look at the curvature of the hill, you'll notice it's pink in shading, kind of like when the sun hits it in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I noticed when I would go up to the pink sections, they were purple.
Yes.
It was only the edges of things that were ever pink. And, like, that was a very cool visual dynamic
I noticed.
That's
called duochrome, and it's very in.
Duochrome. Yeah. Yeah. That's... I don't know if there's,
it
like,
a... It is also a very early 2000s thing, too.
Totally. I don't know if there's, like, a 3D development term for it. But, like, whatever it is, it's a very neat, very cool-looking aspect. Mm-hmm. And I think it super adds to the flavor of this game. And then there's the marbles themselves.
Yes, very pretty marbles.
If you can unlock marbles two ways. You can get a certain grading score time on certain levels. And every level has a hidden object that if you hit, you unlock a marble. Mm. Sometimes it's on top of a rock. Sometimes it's God knows where. It's a jumping level.
Yeah.
There's one way, way up above the goal. And I haven't figured out how to get to it.
Interesting.
I've tried bouncing off the edge of, like, the ramp and then upwards. And, like, I can't get that high. I have no idea how to get there. And I might actually be writing up a guide thing for one of my sites about, you know, how to get all of these marbles. But I got to figure it out first.
It's, so...
So I like that they did that as well, because I'm sitting here getting the diamond times, which are already difficult.
Yeah.
But then, there's still more
there's
I can do.
There's still other things
and
you
I
can
still get
to.
Rewarded with cool marble designs.
Yeah, so it's not just a go down the track thing. There's a variety of things you can do on this track. You know, mm-hmm. a variety of goals you can have in mind instead of just, I want to win.
They do a great job of rewarding you regardless of what you're doing.
Right, so you can either take your time on it and try to get some extra stuff, or you can try and go fast.
Yeah, yeah, and at the same time, you're not punished in any way if you don't go for the goal. And time every time.
Yeah.
But you are given more options. Like, I got the smiley face ball. I think that's one of my favorites. It's just a happy little face on a
that's
marble.
That's what all your best all my... time recordings.
Yeah. Oh, right. Right.
Ball.
So, whenever you finish a level, it saves a replay of it on the console. And you can watch that replay later. And I really like this because you can go to the global leaderboards and you can watch other people's as well.
And see how they got that fast.
So if I'm sitting here wondering, how did they get a diamond time on this level? I can't figure it out. I can go and I can watch their replay.
I was going to say a minute ago, it's kind of a shame. Like, you can watch the replays of the best times, but if you're wanting a replay of how someone got to the bonus item, mm-hmm. you don't get those.
That's exactly my stuck problem right now is, if I'm stuck on a diamond idea, I'll see how someone did it and I'll just try to emulate that. Which I love that they added that in. Some people would say, like, oh, that's cheating, but, like, it's not. It's not about figuring it out. It's about doing it yourself, you know? And I don't want to have to look up on an IGN walkthrough how to get the diamond time for the bumper car marble, whatever.
To each his own.
I am.
I think it's cheating a little bit, but that's just me.
Well, I am the one with the diamond times.
That's true. I'm not even anywhere close to your times.
But speaking of marbles.
I mean, I'll freely admit, I cheat in video games all the time. Like, that's not the issue here.
I did look up where to find the Korok seed guy because I couldn't find him anymore in Zelda.
Oh, he said where he goes.
Yeah, but I didn't know where that was.
Okay.
Anyway, ad break. Marbles. Quality at a glance. With beautiful designs and detailed patterns, there's not at least one that'll catch your eye. Their perfectly round form means they'll roll on for as long as you let them. Enjoy a game, embrace the tactile sensation of a handful of marbles, or even just find inner peace. Buy some marbles. Don't ask me what I was aiming for with this one.
There's not at least one.
Because it turns out when there's a game that's just about... There's totally marble. Yeah. After reading that out loud, I realized that doesn't sound right.
It's not.
There's not at least one that... It'll catch your eye.
Nope.
I write for a living.
Yeah.
it's a game about playing at the marble. There's no lore here for me to go off of. I didn't know what to make an ad about.
Got marbles.
So, can I talk about my personal history with marble
games?
That's
what I was hoping you would talk about.
So, way, way back, younger Brandon, before I was off doing professional game stuff.
No, baby Brandon.
Maybe not baby Brandon. I'll say young. Yeah, okay, teenage Brandon. Preteen, perhaps.
Old Brandon.
I played a game called Marble Blast Ultra for the 360 arcade. And it was basically the same concept. You rolled around as a marble. You could jump. You had power-ups. A lot of them functioned the same, looked a bit different. There were even Easter eggs you could find. And God, I loved that game. I played it a lot. My family played it, you know, it was an enjoyable game, and that's why I was really excited when Marble It Up was announced, because I'm like, oh, I remember this, I'm so excited for this now.
Yeah.
I get that nostalgic blast, and like, I can trust them to create a quality game, which they did.
Yeah.
But it was more about just it existing that meant a lot for me. It was because I requested a copy of this game for work, as I often do.
Right.
And I hadn't heard anything for a while, so I assumed they must have declined me. Maybe my credentials weren't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Until the day before it came out, which I guess is when they sent everyone their copies. Because they sent me an email that day going, hey, here's your copy.
Nice.
And I was ecstatic, and because it legitimized me. It made me feel validated as a journalist that, you know, they believe I'm worth giving a review code to.
And it's not just a, you know, like a new indie game or something coming out. It's a game that
this
you have...
This is a fair title.
...a connection to.
And yeah, I have a nostalgic interest in this one.
Yeah.
But it's also a game that, like, a lot of people did know about. It had a pretty good launch, pretty sizable thing. I would argue this might be the quote-unquote biggest game that I've been given for
the
work.
The most established, yeah.
Most established, yeah. So... You know, that felt very validating. But it was also a game that my family knew about.
Mm-hmm.
And that was good to me, because when you say I've started writing about video games for a living, it doesn't sound like a real job.
I completely understand. Having always been like, I write things. Fictional things.
Yeah, when you say I'm a writer, people assume, oh, so you're unemployed.
Right.
And, you know, that's not the case, but... I care about what my family thinks of me. I want them to think well of me. So to say that, hey, remember that game we used to play? I've been given the spiritual successor for work, and like I'm writing about it for my job, and the fact that that's something that they could recognize and like compare to was very, very good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So yay, my family knows I'm legit.
Yeah, so dreams do come true.
And I was worried at first that I would have a biased perception of this game.
But it's just good.
But I don't.
They made it easy on you.
And I think it's, I credit it with the fact that I kept going for that completionist stuff.
Yeah.
Because I don't do that, but I still wanted to. Nostalgia doesn't make you want to try harder. If you're playing something nostalgically and you find out it's difficult, you're like, oh, maybe I don't remember correctly.
Yeah.
That wasn't the case. I'm like, wow, I want to keep playing.
They did.
It's so much fun.
They gave you a good game so that you could, oh, you could love them forever.
They did. And I was worried about the levels because there's four chapters, each one with, was it 10 levels?
Okay.
And I was worried that that's not a lot of content because the entire first chapter is more or less tutorial levels.
Right.
Until I hit the final chapter. And I was like, oh, yes, this is difficult.
Very hard.
The amount of time I spent on the first two chapters, like, is still less than what I spent on the final one. Because they do get more difficult, and that really adds to, like, your play time and your playability.
It's also, like we said, there's multiple ways you can run each track. So even if it's only 40 tracks, there's like at least three different ways you can. Well, there's three. So there's like bronze, silver, and gold, right?
And then diamond.
And diamond. So that's four goals to achieve. Also the bonus items. So that's like five different ways to run a track.
Oh, yeah. Let's say you're perfect and you don't mess up ever. You're going to play that. You're not going to get diamond, and you're not going to get the secret item on your first run through, odds are.
Mm-hmm.
So at your best, you're going to get gold, then diamond, then the item, which means you're going to play each level three times.
At least.
At least.
If you're very good.
Now, these later levels, I spent, you know, much more than three times playing through, and that's because I wanted to get that good score. So, like, I got a lot of time out of those later, more difficult levels.
So I think with that in mind, like, 40 levels seems to be, like, the kind of the perfect amount. Because it's enough that you're not playing 10 levels over and over again. Even if they be really hard, you're not just playing 10 levels trying to get it all done. You have enough variety of what you're doing. But it's not too much that you feel like you should skip a few in order to get through all of them.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, if you're going to be a completionist, this seems like a good amount of levels to have to keep your interest and keep you playing for a while also not being overwhelming.
Yeah, I agree entirely. And then I looked at their roadmap.
Okay.
So the game is launched on Switch, but they're not done. They're going to keep working on it, and they've already announced what they're planning on working on next. This includes multiplayer.
Oh!
You know, multiple marbles on the same stage.
That would be chaos.
I think that sounds really fun.
I think that would rule.
I would love just, like, you and I to roll on the same level.
And just hit each other.
They plan on adding.
I would kick you right off of that
track. Just ram me off.
I don't even care if I get a good time. I will just do my best to kick you off. It'll be gladiatorial arena.
Oh, so rude. They plan on introducing the game for PC, PlayStation, and Xbox as well.
Okay.
Which I think that's fantastic. And they plan on introducing a level creator for PC.
This seems perfect for that.
This does seem perfect. Like, I'd imagine the community could make some amazing levels.
Some really interesting ones,
yeah.
Some very minimalist, difficult levels.
And they've said that PC players can play community-made levels, but they will also be looking for some of the best fan-made levels, and they'll be making them into official updates for the console versions.
That's awesome.
So even if these four chapters, you know, weren't enough, you're going to get more community
stuff.
Levels
right.
In the future.
That's awesome that they're, like, you know, they may not have a way for you to do level editors on different consoles, but they still give you the benefit of them.
Mm-hmm. And I can understand the restrictions behind that.
Right.
I get it entirely.
Yeah.
So they're clearly putting in more effort in the future. So it's not like I'm done playing it now.
Right. There will be a day when you can come back and there will be new content waiting for you.
So, but based on everything we talked about, how much do you think this game costs?
$30.
20.
I was thinking between 20 and 30.
And I think that really helped ease my mind on like the level of content.
20 bucks is really good.
That's really affordable. Yeah. Right? Compared to like a $60 standard game.
Right, yeah.
This is more than enough content for $20 worth. You know, even if you were to put it at a per hour rate, I've probably gotten, I don't think I've played 20 hours, mind you, but I've played several hours, many, many hours this past week alone. I'm getting good money out of it. It's worth it.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
And it's not overly frustrating either. Like, it feels good to play it, so it is.
There were some expletives sprouted from my mouth in some of those last levels. There's one.
I said it's not overly frustrating.
True. There's one level. I cannot get gold. I have tried my darndest. I cannot get gold. I'm scared to see how diamond works. I've not looked into it yet. I'm sure someone has by now.
You should.
I'm
going
to have to pop up a replay.
Nightmares.
Straight up. Yeah, I have no idea how to get gold on that one.
I've had stress dreams about this track.
But I was mad because I got gold on every single level except that one.
Uh-huh.
But I had to stop because I had to go to bed.
Yes. The life of a gamer.
I got to look that one up later. Okay. Yeah, that one's... So, and of course, now that the game has officially come out...
A lot of people
people have beaten my high score.
Right.
So I'm nowhere on the global charts anymore. Plus, they wipe your times before the game formally launched. So
my
whole media person first high score stuff, throw that out of the
anymore,
window.
Yeah.
There was one guy. His name was Hylian T.
Yeah.
But the H was like a Japanese hiragana character.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea who they are, but they're very good at Marvel games.
Yeah, you were showing me some of their high scores.
Because they were consistently getting the highest score of the media teams.
Yeah.
And I'll be real honest, I tried looking them up. I cannot find anyone with that handle.
Yeah.
Whoever it is, they're not using that handle for their online presence.
Yeah.
But dang, they were good at Marvel games. Whoever you are, Hylian T, know that I admire you.
Yeah. I wonder if they listen.
Marbles off to you.
Yes, marbles off to you.
So.
Is this where we do have some housekeeping?
I think so. I think I've excitedly rabbled about marbles for as long as
I can.
It's
a pretty compact game.
Some of them are so pretty, though. Like, I was going through some of the different marble patterns. Like, there's one that's all swirling. They're not just boring designs. There's one that you can see through it.
Mm-hmm.
This one, like, it swirls and moves dynamically.
The one that the pattern actually moves around is really cool.
Yeah, there's some really cool...
There's one that looks like marble.
There's one that looks like an eyeball, I really like.
Oh, yeah, that one's spooky.
Maybe I'll have to put that one on for Halloween.
Yeah.
But my one I've been using recently is called, it wasn't acid, was it? It was basically, you could see through it.
Yeah.
But, like, everything was warbled.
Yeah.
So, like, there's even some cool refraction going on through my marble.
Some very cool graphic designs.
The man, I like physics. I like physics.
Do. Yes.
So this game is very just satisfying
to me. Yeah, I can imagine.
It's purely in that regard. Just because I super love rolling it, hitting a wall, and watching it bounce off. It's so good. Okay, so enough excitement. Housekeeping.
Yes.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Cozy Co-op...
Have you become William Shatner?
Perhaps. That depends. What is his opinions on marbles?
I don't know.
Does he think there's not at least one that'll catch
your
eye?
We're going to do the housekeeping.
Housekeeping. Okay. Give us a review on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. A good old 5-star review will do us wonders. If you leave an actual comment on it, we can read that too. And, you know, we always appreciate feedback like that. If you want to follow us on Twitter, tweet at us, any of that, you can do so at Cozy Co-op Podcast. That's our Twitter. It's the best way to know exactly when the episode goes live, which is usually Friday mornings. I also post jokes and whatnot. If you want to email us, you can do that at cozycoop@thelizardrock.com. No spaces, no dashes, just basically Cozy Coop.
The Cozy Coop.
Email us, input on an upcoming game, suggest a game to us, anything you want, really. Send us pictures of your favorite marble.
Sure.
The news is found at thelizardrock.com. I write news there every weekday, usually in the morning. It's a nice conglomerate post of all the news of that day, which, because of some unrelated technical issues, I've not been doing
right,
that.
Right, yeah.
But we won't get into that. My computer's good now.
It's all good.
If you want to support the podcast or thelizardrock.com, you can do so at thelizardrock.com/support. You can buy yourself a game, one-time donation, any of that jazz. Next week's episode is going to be about what?
Lego games.
Lego games.
I don't think we need an entire episode for individual Lego games. No. So we're going to be doing just
we're gonna
the concept
some,
of Lego
some
games
Star
in
Wars
general.
Lego, some Pirates of the Caribbean Lego. What else is there?
Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones, that's a good one.
Harry Potter.
Ooh, yes.
A lot of Lego games.
They're all basically the same game.
They're all, yeah. That's why we're doing one.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. So tell us about your favorite Lego games.
So I think that's it for us today. Cozy up with us next week on The Cozy Co-op.
Outro music. Why did you leave me hanging like that?
I like to hear you solo.
That's weird. You meanie.